Go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. When you get Genesis chapter 2, say amen. We're going to begin at verse number 6. It reads, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Amen?
Amen.
Go down to verse 10. "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second is Gihon, and the same is that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates." Father God, we thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
And as we teach on the river of the Spirit today, we pray that there be a special move of your Spirit. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word, O God. Let us understand like never before the ministry of your Holy Spirit that is seen from the beginning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So today, we want to talk about the river of the Spirit. Is that all right? And as you know, anyone that have read my books, I begin in the book of Genesis, and we work our way through the scriptures. Amen? Genesis means origins or the beginning. And so any doctrine, any truth that is found in scripture, you can find it in Genesis. And most of the time, in the garden. Amen? And so, the Bible tells us here that there was a river that went out of Eden to water the garden. Somebody say, Garden of Eden. Now, if you read the scriptures, you will find that the garden, how can I put this? The Bible says, "And God planted a garden eastward in Eden." So the garden was not Eden. The garden was something that was planted eastward in Eden. You guys understand that? The Garden of Eden was not Eden. Eden is a separate entity. God planted something eastward in Eden. So what the first thing I want you guys to see is to understand the difference there. And then secondly, to understand, well, what is Eden then? If the garden was not Eden, but something that was planted eastward in Eden. All right. And look at what it says. It says in verse 10, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the garden cannot be Eden if a river went out of Eden to water it. So what is Eden? Well, if you look up Eden in the Hebrew, it means voluptuousness, pleasantness. It means delight. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I believe Eden was heaven. Walk with me. And this river that left Eden or heaven and went into the garden, I believe that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that connects us to heaven. Are you there? Said another way, it's the Holy Ghost that draws us and convicts us. It's the Holy Ghost when we repent. He's the one that comes in and regenerates us and makes us born again. It is the Holy Ghost that we are filled with when we're born again. Amen. So doesn't the Bible say out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water? And he said he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. So when we allow scripture to interpret scripture, that river that went out of Eden, that river that left heaven and connects earth, did not Jesus say for us to pray, thy will be done and thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? It was established in the book of Genesis. God wanted heaven to be connected with earth, and he wanted his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and it is done by the river. Amen. It is done by the Holy Ghost. He is the one that baptizes us into the body of Christ. It is his gifts. It is his fruit. It is his anointing. It is the river that leaves heaven and connects earth. It was always that way. Amen. Are you guys with me? Now look at this. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Anybody need the water of the Holy Ghost in your life?
Amen.
Now, it says a river went out of Eden to water the garden, but what was the first scripture that we read in verse 6? But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. Mm-hmm. We got a conundrum here. So if there was a river that left Eden to water the garden, and then we also have a mist that comes up from the earth to water the whole land, what do we have here? Are there two separate waters? I don't believe so. I believe, because this is a picture of the believer. Amen? Can we speak prophetically today? I believe the water, the river that left Eden to water the whole earth, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, where do he live? On the inside of you. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that this body, what is your flesh made from? The earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says that we have a treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure in our earthen vessel? His name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so when that river left Eden to water our garden, he lives on the inside of us. And when he's on the inside of us, guess what God does? Guess how he uses that river? There's a mist that comes up out of your earth to water the rest of the land. Did you know that God filled you with the water of his spirit so that you could water the rest of the land? Are we going somewhere today? You say, well, how does that happen? Well, if you look up mist, it means a vapor. And it comes from a word that means a veil. Or an atmosphere. So we here on the island, we see how the mountains can have a veil, a cloud, an atmosphere right on top of it. Amen? Hallelujah. And what are clouds? Many droplets of water. And so God says that river that left Eden to water your garden, you supposed to create a mist to water the rest of the land. Hallelujah. In other words, you suppose when you have the Holy Ghost flowing, that river flowing on the inside of you, you have the ability to create atmospheres, to make a mist, a vapor, wherever you go. Say it another way. When you walk into a place of demonic activity, you have the authority from the river that's only inside of you to create a atmosphere and change it and bring deliverance. When you somewhere where false doctrine and false teaching and ignorance is going forth, you have a river on the inside of you where you can cause a atmosphere change with the mist that comes up out of your belly that flows with living waters. He creates the atmosphere. See, with all that's going on in the world today, We need some atmosphere changers. We need somebody so full of the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost can say it's time for a mist. It's time for some vapor here. But see, we can't handle all of God, so a mist would change folk lives. We can't handle all of the water, so it just take a little vapor. It just take a little mist. And devils will come out. Just a little vapor, just a little mist. And we can change some things. Do we need change today? Stop looking to government. Look to the river on the inside of you. Stop looking to presidents. Look to the river on the inside of you. There is a river of living water that was sent from Eden to your garden. And God says you ain't even got to reveal the whole river. All the people need is a mist. And when that mist come out of you, it will water the whole land. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, mist comes from a root word in the Hebrew that means to rake the coals, to move the embers. Amen. So you know how when there's, if you ever been camping or you have a real fireplace at home, if you think the fire is getting ready to go out and you begin to move it, you see that there's still some fire there and you rake the coals. You move the embers around to stir it back up. Now, we were just talking about water. We were just talking about a river and a mist. What they got to do with raking coals? This is why it takes time to meditate out the word of God. Because when you begin to look up these words and the etymology of these words, it's going to take time to connect this stuff. Because what do water got to do with fire? Because what happened is there's some people around you that you might not know got a little bit of fire on the inside of them, but their fires are going out. Because they're going to religious churches. Their fires are going out because they're putting their trust in man instead of God. Their fires are going out because they're not doing what God told them to do. But when you come around and got the river and begin to release the mist and change the atmosphere, it's like raking the coals of the fire on the inside of them and remind them that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And remind them that there's a consuming fire on inside of me. And remind them that you can do some damage too. And remind them it's time to stir up the gift inside of you. And God ain't forgot about you. And you might not be the next great preacher, but there's some embers on the inside of you. And I come here to stir it up. Now, how God stirs up fire with your mist, I don't know. But that's what the Bible is telling us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody say mist.
Mist.
And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became four heads. And we're going to get back to the four heads when we end. The name of the first is Pison. Say Pison.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. Now, we're doing prophetic teaching today. God does things in threes, out of court, inner court, holies of holies. When you're studying the word of God, when you first began, all you're accumulating is information. Amen?
Amen.
And as you stick with it and the Holy Ghost begin to breathe, he will give you illumination.
Hallelujah.
And as you stick with it and continue to dig in the word of God, then you make it to the third level of revelation. Amen? Today, we're going to get into some illumination and revelation of God's word. Now, we understand that the river that left Eden is a picture of the Holy Spirit because he is God's water. He is the river of living waters inside the believer. Amen? So the name of the first is Pison. Now, when you study the word of God, it's always important to look up the names that's mentioned in the passage.
Amen.
Pison. It means to grow up. Mm-hmm. It means to spread. Because when you first come to the Lord, guess what he want to do? He want to grow you up.
Amen.
He's ready to mature you.
Yes.
And he works from the inside out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So when you first receive that river, the name of the first head, because it comes to you, it waters your garden, and then he releases them forehead. The first one is Pison. It means to grow up or begin to spread. You know anybody that need to grow up in the things of God and need to spread the gospel and spread the nature and spread the love of God? That's Pison. It's the first river. But look at it. It said that is which compass the whole land of Havilah. Havilah means to twist and whirl. It means to go, to surround or go in a circular motion. Mm-hmm. And it also means to travail, to bring forth in pain. Say, Pastor, I don't understand what that means. Well, what God has given you a picture of, when it's time to grow up and it's time to spread, God will allow you to twist and whirl. He will allow you to go into cycles and circular motion. See, when anytime the scripture is speaking of something that is circular, think of cycle. And we go through cycles, don't we? This is why the earth has four seasons, because we go through cycles. And when we go through different seasons in life, it produces pain. That's why travailing and bringing forth in pain is connected to being in a circular motion. Are you there? Because in order to grow up, you got to go through something. Hallelujah. In order to mature and begin to spread your own wings, you got to experience some things. And so the first river is Pison, because it is, did you know that it is the Holy Ghost that will lead you into some tests? Prove it. Jesus came and asked John to be baptized at the River Jordan. He goes underwater. When he comes up, John says the Holy Ghost came down upon him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said it was like a dove that fell upon him. He's filled with the Holy Ghost now, right? He got the river of living waters on the inside of him now, right? Guess what the river, the Holy Ghost tell him to do? The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost drove him to the wilderness to be tested. Pison is where the believer is tested, and it's the Holy Ghost that is pushing you to that test. It was the Holy Ghost that drove Jesus to the wilderness so that the enemy could test him, because the anointing attract attack. And in order to grow up, that's what Pison means, in order to grow up, you got to be tested. You got to go through some stuff. So the first river here in Genesis brings us to our test. That's why we travail. That's why it means to bring forth. Because if you ain't been through nothing, you ain't worth anything. And after Jesus passed his test with the enemy, what did the Bible say? It said that he came out in the power of the Spirit. See, there's a lot of believers who are filled with the Spirit, but they're not passing any tests. So all they do is stay filled with the Spirit. But when you pass your test, once you squeeze and go through something successfully, you come out in the power. In other words, he's no longer in me, but he's on me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He was squeezed from in me to upon me. Now it's time for some ministry. Now it's time to speak the word. Now you get some success. Are you guys still with me? Now this is going to make some sense. Look at here. It said, it compassed the whole land of Havilah. We just broke down Havilah. Where there is gold. What does gold got to do with growing up? What does gold got to do with the cycles of life and the travail that we go through? What does gold have to do with this? Somebody say gold.
Gold.
Because when you look up gold, scripturally, it is always connected to your faith. I believe it's in 1 Peter that says, when your faith has been tried and tested and come out as pure gold. Uh-oh. See, all of this is connected to the text. It's connected to being tested because God tries us, our faith. Did you know it's not enough just to say, I love Jesus? Did you know it's not enough to say, I go to so-and-so church? It's not enough just to confess him, but you're going to go through something. Amen. You must be tried and tested. Everything will be tested because no one is taking your word for it. God even put a tree called the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden because they had to be tested. Hallelujah. So, it says that there is gold there. Why is gold there? Because in Havilah, with their cycles, and you're going to travail and bring forth in pain, that means your faith is being tested. Somebody say streets of gold. You read the book of Revelation, it says that the New Jerusalem that came out of heaven, it has streets of gold. People read that and think heaven has streets of gold, but that's not what it said. It said the New Jerusalem that came out of heaven has streets of gold. And if you read on, the New Jerusalem is a picture of the church. And so he was speaking prophetically in the book of Revelation that it's the church that got pearly gates. It's the church that got 12 foundations of precious stones. It's the church that have streets of gold. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Because when you walk by faith and your faith is being tried and you pass your test, you come out as pure gold. Your faith is in the fire of trials and testing. And when you pass your test, your faith comes out as pure gold. And if we walk by faith, the faith that's been tried in the fire and came out as pure gold, if you walk by faith, that's how you walk in on streets of gold, because gold represents God. It's the color of God, and the steps of a good man are ordered by God. So that's why gold is mentioned here in Havilah, because when you've been tested, God is saying, if you just stick with it and depend on the Holy Ghost and pass your test, God said, there's some gold waiting on you. Hallelujah. And it's not gold for your bank account. It's gold for your feet. It's gold, the streets that you're going to be walking on. God says that your steps will be golden because they've been tried by fire. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 12. And the gold of that land is good. Oh, my goodness. See, this ain't the fake gold that they're trying to sell you at the mall. Amen. This ain't 10 karat. He's letting you know, no, I made the gold. The gold that's in this land when you tried, see, he said it's good. See, we don't know how powerful the word good is in scripture. See, when he got done with creation, he said, it is good. Let me tell you something. Jesus said when we stand before him, what do we want to hear from here, from him? Well done. Now what? Good and faithful. Wait, faith. We just said that your faith is tried until it comes out as pure gold. Well done, thou good and faithful. Faith and gold and good is always together. Amen. He said the gold in that land is good. Hallelujah, because it's been tried. Can't nobody take away from you. Look at this. And there is bdellium and the onyx stone. This is just the first river. Lord have mercy. I got to get to the other three rivers. This is the first river. This is why your testing is so important. Don't worry about the other rivers, because a problem unlearned is a problem returned. If you keep failing the test, you ain't going to make it to Gihon. You ain't going to make it to Euphrates. You ain't going to make it to all the other rivers. You're going to stay in the perpetual. That's why Havilah means circle. Lord have mercy. Somebody say cycle. The only way. I don't want to get too graphic. One of the ways, sisters, that cycle is stopped is when you finally receive seed. and get impregnated. I'm gonna leave that right there. But that's how many of the cycles in life we stop. We stop going through the same thing and circling the same mountain and dealing with the same problems and dealing with the same curses and dealing with the same strongholds, because you got to get the seed of the word in you. And that stops the cycle, because once you get the seed and get impregnated, then you can bring forth. Isn't that what Havilah means? To bring forth in pain. So he said, there's bdellium and onyx. Now you can do the research on bdellium. It is something that is used in perfumery, in fragrances, and in scripture. It uses part of it for the making of frankincense and myrrh. So it has to do with that which is extracted from bdellium that produces beautiful aromas. Are you there? What does this have to do with the text? Because when you are connected to Pison and you go through your Havilah and your faith is tested and you come out as pure gold, God says, I understand the pressure you was in. But you need to know you can't get the olive oil without crushing the olive. You can't get the grape juice without squeezing the grape. And when it comes to the bdellium, it's going to take some pressure of the bdellium in order to get the fragrance. God says it's going to all be worth it, because when you come out of it, there is an aroma of the Holy Ghost that you will be walking in. See, people have saw you in times past, and they remember when your sin stunk. They remember your past didn't smell that good. But if you just go through and you stick with God and you allow yourself to be tested and you stick with the first river and you go through your cycles and let your faith be tried by fire and come out as pure gold, God says, I got some bdellium for you. I got a smell that's from heaven that's undeniable. I got something that you'll be able to wear. And it smells better than Calvin Klein. I got something that you'll be able to wear. That the world would know you've been in my presence. And I said, I approve. Hallelujah. That's not it. We still on the first river. And it says, and the onyx stone. Somebody say onyx stone.
Onyx stone.
Is this my water here?
Yes.
Thank you. Y'all mind if we take a station identification break? Amen. We back from commercial break. How's everyone doing?
Amen.
Onyx stone. When you research onyx stone, of course, it is black. Amen. Now they have some, you can get into the other ones. They got some marbleized ones, but we just talking about the pure onyx stone. It is jet black, and it is a stone. Somebody say stone.
Stone.
So when you begin to look up stones, it takes you on a whole nother path, because we find out that stones represent revelation. Peter had just got the revelation. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? I mean, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That was a revelation. And upon this rock, not the rock of Peter, upon the rock of revelation, that Jesus is the Son of God. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So stones represent revelation. Amen? So when we read the scripture, and it's talking about in the book of Proverbs, the many precious stones, he said that wisdom is more precious than rubies, because stones represent revelation. Amen. So when there's a giant in your life, God wants you to know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, but upon this rock I build my church. So anytime there's giants, he said, go get some rocks of revelation. And that's why David went to a body of water, because revelation only comes by the Holy Ghost, because he wrote the word.
Amen.
He's the only one that can inspire the word, that can reveal the word. Amen. So David went to a brook. He went to the water and got some revelation. And he got a stone to bring down his giant. Well, the Bible says here in the first river, not only do we get the fragrance of bdellium, but we get an onyx stone. So it's not just any stone. He didn't say ruby, sapphire. He didn't say pearl. He said onyx. It's found in the river Pison. Oh, hallelujah. See, there's some stones you only get under pressure. There's some stones you only get in the deep. There's some stones that's only revealed to you when you thought you was about to lose your life. When your olive was being so crushed and your grape was being so squeezed that you thought you was going to lose your life because you didn't understand. That's why the Holy Ghost is here, for you to lose your life, that the life of Christ may be manifest through you. So while you was dying, Methuselah, there was a darkness that you was in, and it revealed the dark stone called onyx. Because the deeper you go in God's word, just like the sea, the darker it gets. The further you go down, the further you are from the light. And the deeper you go, the more pressure you under. But those pressure is what reveal the onyx stones. Hallelujah. That's why he said, along with the fragrance, I'm going to bless you with some onyx stones. I'm going to bless you with some revelation that will blow your mind. I'm going to bless you with some revelation that come from the dark, deep place. When you bring it up, it's going to be so dark and polished and smooth. Devil ain't going to want to mess with you then. Because he knew the price you paid to get that. This wasn't the stones that's on top of the beach and walking up and down the shore that anybody can pick up. You had to die to get to that stone. It cost you something. Lord have mercy. So the onyx stone was precious to God. And if you research it, what happened was, when it came to the high priest, somebody say high priest. God said, I want that stone used in the high priestly garments. Mm-hmm. And so the high priest put on what's called an ephod. It's an apron. And the shoulder part where the straps were, it had one onyx stone on each shoulder. And engraved on that black onyx stone was the names of the tribe of Israel. So I believe it was 6 on each stone or 12 on both stones. Amen? Let me tell you something. When you go through Pison and the cycles of Havilah and the tests and trials of your faith, and it costs you, and you come out where the gold is and the aroma of God, God says, look, that stone that you got that cost you everything to get, he said, I am going to engrave some stuff on there. Said another way, when you engrave something, it's for the people to remember. See, we can go through some stuff and we feel like we barely made it out of there, but God was sitting back. Do you realize that the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus? He was sitting back because he knows you ain't worth nothing unless you've been through something. And as we're suffering, he see the oil coming out that olive. As we're suffering, he see the juice coming out that grape. See, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we come out of that and we got that onyx stone that we went to the deep and it cost our life for, he said, I'm going to remember you, so I'm going to engrave on here. See, I wrote a book called Lord, Remember Me. And I go through the lives of certain people in the Bible after they went through all Hades. The Bible says, and God remembered them. After Noah witnessed the entire death of all civilization and was on an ark for months with nothing but animals. And he watched the storm and he smelled death. The Bible says, and God remembered Noah. The Bible says that God remembered Rachel after she struggled with not being able to have a child, and the jealousy and envy between her and her older sister Leah that was given birth and having seed. But Jacob hated Leah, but she's the one giving birth. He loved Rachel and she couldn't give birth. After going through that internal struggle with herself and her sister and her husband, the Bible says, and God remembered Leah and she finally gave birth. And there was a thief on the right side of Jesus who knew he deserved what he was getting, but recognized that the Son of God hadn't done no wrong. He said, what? Lord, remember me when you make it into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. There is a remembering that you need to know that God has when you pay the price to walk with him. He's not masochistic. He don't just like to see his children in pain, but he knows what it takes in this fallen world to get closer to him. He knows the price that must be paid in order to get revelation. He knows what you got to go through in order to get rid of the flesh that the spirit may come forth. And he said, I'm not going to forget that. I'm not going to forget what you went through. I'm not going to forget the cost. Hallelujah. When you look at the anointing oil that the high priest used, it had five ingredients. Half of those ingredients, you had to go to some obscure, far away, deep place to get these things. He said, no, my anointing does not come free. My oil, you just don't go to your local drugstore and get this, this, and this and make my oil. You're going to have to search for the ingredients. It's going to take you some time to figure out where it's found. It's going to cost you something to dig. It's going to cost you something to swim. It's going to cost you something to obtain these ingredients. Then you bring it together, and that's where the fragrance of my oil is. This is just the first river Pison. Hallelujah. So the high priest had it on the ephod on the shoulder straps. Then he had one. It's called the breastplate of the high priest. It had 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And the onyx stone was at the bottom in the middle. He said, because what do the breastplate represent? The heart of God. God says, I'm taking that onyx stone that cost you everything in the river Pison, and I'm putting it. Jesus is our high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He said, I'm putting it right here. I'm not going to forget it. I'm not only engraving your name on it. He said, it's in my heart. Y'all don't know how precious it is when you look the devil in the faces and still stand for Jesus. God says, you don't know how precious it is when you've lost everything, but you still held on. You don't understand. God says, I'm not going to forget that. Hallelujah. And the name of the second river. We just getting to the second river, Jesus. What, that first river, it killed us, didn't it? No second river. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same as that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Now look at this. Gihon means to burst forth. It means to gush. Of course, speaking of water or stream. Amen? Mm-hmm. The same that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Now, this is interesting because we just got done dealing with that black stone. Amen? Now we're dealing with a black land. Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe it's Genesis 11 when it's breaking down the descendants of Noah's three sons. His son Ham, who was a black man. Ham means black, hot, or swarthy. He had a son. His firstborn name was Cush. Cush and Ethiopia are the same name. Amen? So Cush is translated Ethiopia in Genesis 11. But in Genesis chapter 2, it went on and gave you the real name, Ethiopia. Amen? Ethiopia means black, blackened, burned, combustible, or fire-like. So when Ham had Cush, that was a black brother. You weren't talking about, no, that's a person of color. No, that brother was black. Talk back at me. When no denying, when you go to Ethiopia, there's no denying black people there. When you first saw Ham's firstborn, Cush, that brother was black. There was no denying Ham was black, and there was no denying his firstborn was black. Well, look at this. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and it compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. What in the world does that mean? Well, you can go through some stuff that will blacken you. Mm-hmm. You will go through some stuff that will burn you and consume you. That's why his name means fire-like. You will go through some stuff. Are you noticing that walking with the Holy Ghost is going to cost you something? And this is why many don't do it. You see, we love having church, but we don't like being the church. We love going to church and inviting people to church, but when it's time to be the church, there's a river that's going to show up, and he's going to lead you down some uncomfortable seasons. See? And while the brothers and sisters are over here dealing with Pison and its cycles and its travail, amen, and it's bringing forth in pain, there's some people down that second river, Gihon. And the fires of life, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as if some strange thing have happened unto you. Yeah. And the fires of life is wearing them out. But God is getting all the glory. You know why we need some fire? Now look at this. Jesus said, for the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. We think they're working against each other. But this is the Creator telling you how it's done. I'm going to say that again. He said, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life. You know why God allowed the thief to come to kill, steal, and destroy? So that in the end of his killing, stealing, and destroying in the believer's life, there can be life on the other end. See, we come to God and we got all this stuff we're dealing with because we're born in sin. Help me, Holy Ghost. We got these addictions, these strongholds, these generational curses, this thinking. We got all of this stuff against us. And God says, that's why I let the devil around here. Mr. Devil, I've been telling them let go of that. They won't let go of it. Go steal it. Mr. Devil, I've been telling them let go of that. Deal with that. Bring it to me. They won't do it. Destroy that. Mr. Devil, there's some relationships. There's some things they touching, but they won't do what I told them to do. Kill it. And after the devil, I ain't talking about the sinner. See, it was the Holy Ghost that drove Jesus into the wilderness. After the devil, through God's permission, ask Job. After the devil, through God's permission, get done stealing, killing, and destroying in the believer's life, all that is left is life. So he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life. Are you there? So when we get to Gihon, that compass all the land of Ethiopia, it's fire-like, burnt, combustible. Hallelujah. God says, that old life of yours, I don't want none of it left. I want it black, blackened, burnt, combustible. Hallelujah. And he said, and when the fire is done, my consuming fire, He said, when it's done, what the Gihon means? It means to burst forth. It means to gush. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Do you realize that there's a river of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you that cannot wait to burst forth? In your house, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your community, on this island, in this nation, but there's too much of us walking around. So he said, I got to burn up some stuff. And my fire's coming to the whole land of Ethiopia. When I get done, everything gonna be black. Everything gonna be burned up. Lord have mercy. Verse 14. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. Somebody say Hiddekel. Hiddekel means quick flowing. Ho, ho, ho. It means rapid current. That is which go toward the east. Somebody say east of Assyria. Say this with me. Everything in scripture represents something. Everything in scripture symbolizes or connects to something. There is always a signification in the word of God. This is when you go from information to illumination. Look at all what we're getting in this common passage of these four heads of the river. Amen? Now, so Hiddekel, it means a quick flowing or rapid stream. All right? We're going to break that down in a second. It said, but it goes toward the east. Remember, God planted a garden eastward in Eden. He didn't just put the garden anywhere. And if you look up east, in the Hebrew, it comes from a root word that means in front of, before. I'm going to say that again. In front of, before. Help me, Lord. Toward the east of Assyria. Assyria means success. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. So let's put it together. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which means quick flowing and rapid. That is which goes toward the east, or in front of, or before. That is connected to Assyria, success. So there is a level in the Holy Ghost, because we're talking about the river that left Eden. There is a level in one of the heads of the stream that came from the river called Hiddekel. That is quick flowing. That is a rapid stream, but it's before. It's in the east. It's in front of, and it leads to success. Said another way, there is an anointing in the Holy Ghost. It's called the prophetic. And the prophetic is not for slow folks. The prophetic ain't for beginners. The prophetic, you got to been through some stuff. You got to have some word in you because it's quick flowing. Hello. It's a rapid stream. But let me tell you about that flow of the prophetic. It's not just a rapid stream, but it's before. See, when you look at the word prophet or prophesy, what that means is prophets first prophecy. Say that with me. Prophecy. Then you prophesy. That's the prophetic. Prophetic people, they prophesy. God shows them things in the east or in front of or before or ahead of time. See, that river is flowing. It's quick. It's for the mature. See, One of the things I want you to walk away from this is the body of Christ is very diverse, and we need all of the gifts in the body.
Amen.
Amen. Because some folk is over in Pison dealing with the cycles, and when they get done, they're going to need some prophetic. They're going to need some hit or kill. They're going to need something that's free-flowing and speaking and prophesying in their life and going before them, in front of them, in the east. Amen.
Amen.
So we got to make sure that we ain't discriminating. See? Let me show you something. We just took communion the other day, right? And when we went over the scripture, when Paul was breaking down, he said, to discern the Lord's body, okay? Because what the bread represent? He said the bread represents his body. The wine represents his blood. He said many are asleep because they're partaking unworthily, because they did not discern the Lord's body. Well, we are the body of Christ. And see, a lot of us don't discern the Lord's body because we say we don't believe in the prophetic. We don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We don't believe in tongue talking. We don't believe in that. Uh-oh. And because you didn't discern the Lord's body, he said many are sick. I can't make this stuff up. Yeah, you sick because you don't believe in healing. Yeah, you sick because your pastor convinced you that that ain't for today. And then he said, and many are sick and some are asleep. And we know he's speaking of death. Amen. He said some. He wasn't talking about the world. He wasn't talking about sinners. He's talking about communion. He's talking about discerning, taking the bread, which represents his body, and we are the body of Christ, because there's so much ignorance and discrimination in his own body. I don't believe you. I don't believe that. I'm not going to bring you. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to tell my people don't listen to you. I'm going to tell my people this. And then we sit here and we sing, because God put the blessing in the body, but we don't use the body. That's why you get stuck in Pison, because and you ain't qualified for no other stream, because we have not discerned the Lord's body. See, he said, no, there's another level for you. There's another level for your ministry. But you're going to have to connect with that brother over there that you've been talking about. Because I love him, too. I've gifted him, too. Let me tell you something. What a man or woman of God does in their private life, they got to give an account for. But God have given them gifts. You better get. What's that gift? Come on, somebody. I ain't concerned. Ain't my business. That's above my pay grade, what Benny Hinn doing. But if you come to town and I got some members, or I know somebody that need a healing, I'm taking them. If he messing with folk money, God gonna get them. But that gift, that anointing is real. And you've been praying for mama, and you've been praying for baby, and you've been praying for so-and-so, and the doctors couldn't help them, and you standing on faith. God said, I sent the gift to the island, but you didn't discern the Lord's body. Because you're judging them. Can you smell what the rock is? Any help in the house? So he said, Hiddekel, that's toward the east, success in Assyria. And the fourth is Euphrates. Guess what Euphrates means? Now, you notice how it got shorter and shorter from the first one? Pison had 2-3 scriptures connected to it. It was like the Holy Ghost was like, look, just Euphrates. It kept getting shorter and shorter because it's there for a reason. It shows you that first one is the most important.
Yeah, okay.
See, that first one is the most important. Passed in tests, going through, paying the price is most important. Amen. So he gave us plenty of information on that one. He's letting you know, got to get this one right. The rest of them gravy. Got to get this one right. And by the time he got to the fourth one, Euphrates next. But I want you to see something. You know why he just left Euphrates there? Because it's so powerful. The fourth head of the river that went into the garden that parted into four heads, and we get ready to get to the four heads. He said, it's just Euphrates. When you look up the name Euphrates, guess what it means? Breakout. Breakthrough. Woo! He said, by the time you get to Euphrates, you're going to be so bad in the Holy Ghost. I wish I had a church. That wherever you go, thank God for the mist. That wherever you go, thank God for Pison. Thank God for Gihon. Thank God for Hiddekel. But your muscles would have been built up in the Holy Ghost to the point that wherever you go, all they get is a breakthrough. It don't matter how many devils. It don't matter if they got a legion, you getting a breakthrough. It don't matter if they're dead, they getting out of the grave, you getting a breakthrough. It don't matter if they're blind, their eyes are opening, you getting a breakthrough. He said, I'm just going to drop Euphrates on you. Woo! God is in the house.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Somebody say four heads.
Four heads.
How am I doing on time, Pastor? We good?
Good.
All right. Four heads. Somebody say the number four. Four is the number of earth and world. Numbers in scripture represent something. And you don't get to make up what it represents. Amen? Must make sense. You must be able to see it clearly. Four represent the earth and the world. How do I know this? Because we have four seasons on the earth. Four directions on the earth. Four layers to the earth atmosphere. Four layers to the earth crust. I didn't make it up. Those are facts. So from that, four represents the earth or the world. Now look at this. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads that we just broke down. So, Eden is heaven. The river is the Holy Spirit that connected earth and heaven because we want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, earth was an offshoot of heaven. Amen? And it can only reflect heaven with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the river was sent from Eden to the garden, and from your garden and to four heads of the earth. Now watch this. When Israel came together under Moses, when they built the tabernacle, when they all came together, they met in four groups. Three tribes over here under one banner. Three tribes over here under one banner. The tabernacle in the middle. Three tribes over here. North, south, east, and west. Three tribes. But each of those three tribes came under one banner. One, the banner, was the picture of a man. The other three tribes under one banner, the picture of an ox. The other three tribes, one banner, the picture of an eagle. The other three tribes, one banner, the picture of a lion. And in the middle, the tabernacle of Moses. And from an aerial view, you saw a picture of the cross. Are you there? Because four represents the earth. So by the time we get to the New Testament, when we read about the life of Jesus, he is seen, his story is told under four gospels. And if you do your research, each gospel reveals one of the banners from the Old Testament. Amen. Matthew reveals Jesus, and I could have these wrong, as the man. Mark reveals Jesus as the ox. John reveals Jesus as the eagle. Luke reveals Jesus as the lion. Are you there? And then, because all of that had to do with preaching the gospel, he gave them the Great Commission. Amen. He said, the man that I am, the suffering servant of the ox that I am, the eagle from heaven, the eagle flies in the sky, the Son of God and the eagle, and the lion, the conquering king, the lion of the tribe of Judah that's over here. He said, I wanted you to take that gospel of the kingdom of who I am and to all the earth. But he gave it to him in four parts. He said, start in Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Don't forget Samaria. And then the other parts of the world. Start in Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Don't forget Samaria. Then the uttermost parts of the world. And if you read the book of Acts, after the resurrection, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the birthday of the church, on the day of Pentecost, they started in Jerusalem. And revival broke out in Judea. And then revival broke out in Samaria. Hallelujah. And just in case, God says, don't forget my Ethiopian brothers. Before you go to the four corners of the earth, there was a brother, a eunuch of Ethiopia, who had the book of Isaiah. And Margaret, who was the one that he supernaturally transported to that brother in the wilderness? Philip. He took Philip by supernatural transport and saw the brother reading and confused, not understanding what he was reading in Isaiah. And Philip translated or explained it to him, and he got saved, and he baptized him. Even though when he was in the desert, they found some water, and he baptized him. And then they went to the four corners of the earth, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the four corners of the earth. Because God said here that that river that was sent from Eden to water the garden, it now parted into four heads to the rest of the world. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Jesus on the cross. The Bible says that the Roman soldiers got his garments, and they were in four pieces. I can't make this stuff up, sis. There's in four pieces. And the Bible says because it was a garment that was hemless. You couldn't tell. When you have a garment that have no hem, you can't tell where it began or end. Help me, Holy Ghost. Garments represent spirits. Somebody say this with me. Garment represents spirits. Or a spirit. Now watch this, because I have to explain how I can't just make that up. Am I right? The Bible says, put on the garment of praise, take off the spirit of heaviness. He related a garment to a spirit. He said, well, that's kind of weak. You kind of stretching it there, Pastor. Remember, when Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's spirit, he didn't get it just because Elisha said he was going to get it. But when God took Elijah up and his garment, his mantle fell, once Elisha put on his garment, that's when the Bible says he received a double portion of his spirit, because garments represent spirit. Amen. One day, Jesus walking down the street, and a woman with an issue of blood said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. She touched his garment, and he said, something came out of me. It's called the spirit of healing, because garments represents the spirit of something. This is why in the Old Testament, religious, legalistic people have taken the scripture and taught it incorrectly. The Bible says under the law that a man ought not to wear garments that pertain unto a woman, and a woman ought not to wear garments that pertain unto a man. But we got brothers from Samoa right here that's wearing garments that on the mainland they wouldn't agree with. So we can't look at that because culturally, if you're in Ireland, they still wearing skirts. So that ain't what God was talking about. But if, when you understand that garments represents the spirit of something, he was saying that a man who is masculine shouldn't have the spirit of femininity. And a woman that I have created feminine and soft shouldn't have a spirit of masculinity. Mm-hmm. Now let's get back to the cross. Now that we know that garments represents the spirit of something, they had Jesus' garment. And the reason why his garment had no hems is because he is Alpha and Omega. It's because he had the spirit without measure. There was no beginning, no end to the spirit that he had. And they had that garment, and it was cut into four pieces, and they were casting lots for it. So what they got to do with it? Because the Holy Ghost, who is the river, parted into four heads. They had a garment that represented the spirit of Jesus, and he was signifying that my spirit in four pieces is getting ready to go into the four corners of the earth. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. This is why he said it's expedient that I go. Because as long as I'm here, I'm limited as a man. I can only be in one place at one time. He said, but if I go, my spirit can come and be in all believers at the same time. And on the day of Pentecost, guess what happened? Because when Adam fell, the river was disconnected from earth. But when the second Adam came and died, on the day of Pentecost, that same river that left Eden and watered the garden left heaven again, and now he is present in the four corners of the earth. And that's why we got to go through Pison and Gihon and Hiddekel and Euphrates, because the river is back. And God says, when I get done training you, training for reigning, he said, you're gonna be glad of what you went through. You're going to be able to look back and say, I'm glad I went through those cycles. I'm glad I went through those travail. I'm thank God for his bdellium. Thank God for his onyx stone. Thank God I'm in a place where I'm bursting forth. I'm in a place where I'm successful. I'm in a place of breakthrough. But it's all because the river have been restored. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap.